Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here's something that sounds easy for people with Christian faith. Integrating it into our everyday life sounds easy, but it can often be a huge challenge. In lots of practical ways, even a daily battle. There's often a gulf between who we'd like to be, between the faith that people profess and the faith they practice. There's no cute, easy answer to this on how to bridge that gulf, but there are ways, according to Aussie author Graham Hooper, who says it is possible to live out a biblical faith living holistically. His new book is called Undivided, Closing the Faith Life Gap, and Graham joins us now on Open House. Graham, welcome.
Thank you very much, Lee.
It's great to meet you. And I really think you're onto something here. Can I start by asking you to explain the faith life gap?
Let me speak from my own experience. I spent most of my life working as a Christian in the secular workplace, which means I go to church on Sundays or Fridays in the Middle East, and I spend the rest of my day in the hurly-burly of business. And I've done that in different places around the world. I've sometimes been quite strongly confronted with the big gap between what we say and do at church on Sundays and what life is really like for us on Mondays. You know, we talk about God can be trusted. God is present with us. But how does that work out on Monday when we're at work and the first thing that happens is there's some terrible emails come in from somebody, your boss is on your back, you've failed to win the contract, or worse, you've just lost your job. You're faced with, can I trust God? All those things I said at church on Sunday, is that just religious talk or do I really mean it? Do I really live it?
For people with whom you work, it's probably one of the most damaging things for the cause of Christian faith to have people who are two-faced.
Absolutely. And, I've heard people say on a number of occasions of Christians in the workplace, you know, I can't believe that that guy or that girl is a Christian. Yes. Look at the way they've dealt with that situation. Look at the way they treat those people when they're under pressure. And, you know, you kind of wince because that could be said about me, and you think, wow. So that consistency, I think, is what the Lord calls us to live out in the letter of James in the New Testament. You can't have salt water from the spring one moment and fresh the next. So how is it that we can be one thing, you know, at church and a different thing in the workplace?
I don't want to let people off the hook, but Christians aren't perfect.
No, and that's the battle. No one expects you to be perfect, but they, you know, if you're a Christian in the workplace, they do look at your life, you know. So what are your integrity standards? And perhaps most of all, how do you deal with people? Yeah. The longer I've gone on in the workplace, I think it's the relationships that leave the lasting impression. And that's where we live out what we say we believe.
Yes. The way you've dealt with this begins with identifying the problem, yeah. The gulf. There's quite a bit of honesty needed for that. Raw honesty, isn't there?
There is. And I think that's the key to it all, because the world often looks at Christians in the workplace or elsewhere and sees hypocrisy. And, of course, that's one of the things Jesus condemned most strongly of all, wasn't it? The hypocrisy of the religious people. Honesty is fundamental. Honesty with God, honesty with each other, that we're not the people we like people to think we are. We're not as perfect as that. And so it's keeping short accounts with God and with our spouses, with our friends, and with our workmates.
In a way, the honesty thing is probably the biggest question, because to be two-faced is to be dishonest, really.
I love the quote from Spurgeon, which is in the book. He said, "We must have a 7 days religion or else we have none at all." This kind of two-faced thing is a perpetual hypocrisy. The Bible, one of the fundamental truths in the Bible is that God made us and knows us inside out. So when we're trying to be something other than we're not, we're trying to con God, which is absolutely impossible.
Yes.
And we think we're conning other people, but I think they see through us. They see us for what we are.
Yes. The way this gulf often plays out affects such a wide range of the human condition, emotionally, physically, mentally, even financially.
Yes, I think we experience these gaps in different ways. To me, a lot of it comes down to, can I trust God? Is God real? I think God builds into our lives opportunities for us to trust him, whether it's for our money, for our kids, for our job, for our promotion, for the success of our business. And that really is the bottom line. I love that quote from the Apostle Paul in Timothy, where he says at the end of his life, I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him.
I'd like to explore more of how you got onto this idea. So it came from you living and working in the secular workforce. Yeah. What is it about your experience that you got this whole idea of undivided, identifying this gap and seeking to bridge it?
I think because of the battles in my own life, to be real in my faith, you find yourself being squeezed and molded by the world continually. If you work for a big corporation or the military or the government, then you have to conform to certain standards, procedures, sometimes dress codes. And, you know, we talk about peer pressure for our teenagers, but peer pressure goes on right through life. And we are continually being squeezed to adapt and mold our thinking, our behavior, our words to the standards of people around us. And Jesus calls us to be salt and light. So that's the challenge, to be different. God works in us to close that gap gradually.
In an increasingly secular society, is it a tougher challenge to bridge that gap today? In the real world.
Yes, it is. But on the other hand, it's also a wonderful challenge, because if you live in, I suppose, my parents' grandparents' generations, which were more nominally Christian and church-going, perhaps that's a little harder. But when there is a starker contrast, then you have to work out what you really believe. You know, that's the real challenge. That's the exciting bit, really.
The opposite issue of seeking to bridge this gap and often failing along the way is achieving some success in this world and believing that all comes from me, my ability, my strength, my resilience.
I think that's a wonderful illustration, Lee, because, I mean, you know, we can go to church on Sundays and say, God, we'll give you all the glory for this. And you go back in the week and you win the tender, you win the job, or you do something really clever at work. And you suddenly start to grab all the glory for yourself, you know, even forget the people who've helped you along the way.
Yes.
That's a sham. And so success is actually a test for us.
Yes.
Sometimes in that way. I mean, you know, success is a thing to be enjoyed, but it can be a test. The scripture says a lot of warnings, don't forget the Lord when you have prosperity and success.
And the opposite of that is failure. And it's important to say you've identified that reality and how to recover from failure. Yeah. How do you do that?
You spoke of honesty earlier. I mean, the Bible's wonderfully honest about this, and I think contains lots of examples of massive failure. People like Peter and David and all the great men and women of faith.
It's quite revealing, actually, you think about that.
It is. And so, you know, I take comfort from the fact that my failure is not going to take God by surprise. If these great people can fail, then obviously it's not going to take God by surprise. But he doesn't mean us to wallow in failure. And, you know, he wants to bring us through failure to learn more about him and about ourselves in the process.
So help us out. This Sunday night, we're looking towards the coming working week. How are we going to bridge that gap, and how do we live out a consistent faith so that by the time we come back this time next week, we've thought there has been a bit of a difference, maybe not a dramatic one, but there's been a bit of a difference. Take us through some of the dynamics that will be necessarily at work then.
The old truth is still the same truth, that you need to have some time with God. There's a beautiful prayer in one of the Psalms. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I put my trust in you. And many days I go out to work with that prayer. Get some root from the scripture to go out into the day, because you're going to go out into a bit of a battle. And, you know, by lunchtime, you've probably upset a few people. You've probably failed to live up to your dreams for the day, whatever. So it's a continual process of renewing through the day. I heard a lovely thing from the head of the Bible Society in Australia recently. He was speaking, and he said, you know, take some Bible moments through the day. Just get on your iPhone or something, and rather than read the newspaper for half an hour, just take 2 minutes to renew your relationship with God and reinvigorate through the scripture. I don't think there's any substitute for soaking ourselves in the word of God like that.
It's very much more accessible on our devices at the moment.
It is. That's right. And so travelling home on the train, you know, having a coffee in the lunch hour, you've got a choice. You can pick up the paper and the magazine, which is fine, but you can also take a minute to get on your iPhone.
But it is easy to be swamped. It is easy for time to run away with us and our thoughts to run away with us.
Yeah.
How do you then recover them?
Yeah, it is. It's just a day-by-day process, isn't it, Lee, for all of us? You know, you can get to the end of the day and come home, and as I have many times, and think, I really could have handled that better. You know, I love that old film Groundhog Day, where Bill Murray gets to relive his life every day.
And I can't stand that movie, actually.
You can't.
Because of this very thing, I suppose.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful? You know, sometimes you come home from work and you think, I wish I could have that again.
Yeah, I suppose,
yes. I wish I could have done that better.
Yeah.
And you can't.
No.
But what you can do, thank God, is learn from your own mistakes, as well as learn from the great example of other people.
And as you say in what I think is one very valuable part of this book, keep your eye on the prize. Take us through your thinking there.
You know, the secular humanists are very strongly telling us these days that, you know, that there is no God, there is no heaven, this life is all there is. That doesn't really ring true with most of the world's population. I think there's an inbuilt understanding that there's an eternal dimension to all this. And if we live this life as though this is all there is, I think we're like a horse with the blinkers on. We're taking away a whole dimension of reality. There is life after this is all over. I think what I've increasingly come to see is, you know, is not just how short life is, but that any great positions we may hold in our business or in our employment are just for a while.
Yes.
Just for a while. You know, I was quite struck reading recently, you know, the great French President Jacques Chirac was suffering from dementia. You think, well, even a great statesman, it's only for a while. Keeping that in your mind, and for us as Christians, being able to keep our eyes on the prize is a wonderful thing.
That's why I think you're really onto something with this book, Undivided, Closing the Faith Life Gap. Graham Hooper, thank you so much indeed for joining us on Open House.
Thank you, Lee. It's a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.